This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Wildfires around Los Angeles burning for a fourth straight day as firefighters continue struggling to put out the blazes. In other neighborhoods, evacuees are returning to find all that's left of their homes and communities.
Half my block was gone. It's emotional.
Andrew Schwartz, who fled with his spouse and two young children from Pacific Palisades. L.A. County Sheriff Robert Luna says first responders are not only putting out fires, they're also conducting rescue missions.
The majority of the people they are having to rescue out of homes and vehicles are individuals that chose not to evacuate, not only putting themselves in danger, but putting the first responders in more significant danger.
10 people have been killed in the wildfires. 10,000 homes and other buildings have been destroyed. Sentencing for Donald Trump today in his hush money case, the Supreme Court refused to delay it. Supreme Court hearings today on the future of TikTok as well. This is ABC News. Delta Airlines this morning announcing net income of over $840 million in the fourth quarter, beating expectations. One of the biggest car shows in the world is revving up today in Detroit.
After skipping 2024 due to scheduling adjustments, the Motor City is kicking off the new year with the Detroit Auto Show. Among the vehicles debuting is a new version of Ford's high-performance $300,000 Mustang GTD called the Spirit of America. Ford's Jim Owen says it's inspired by Mustang race cars of the 60s.
It's red, white, and blue with the horse going across it. This limited edition pays homage to that type of heritage of racing.
Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Archaeologists in Egypt have uncovered a tomb that was likely first carved into the rocks around 4,100 years ago. Researchers say the artifacts were plundered, but wall paintings inside show it was the tomb of some sort of doctor who treated the pharaoh and also carried the title of chief dentist. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Matt Nair on air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I drew my brother's name 1 year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Packers head to Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers face the Eagles Sunday at 3:30. The forecast calls for mostly sunny skies and a high of 39. So what are the fans like at Lincoln Financial Field? I asked Packers safety Xavier McKinney, who's played there several times when he was with the Giants.
It's a tough environment. It's loud. Obviously, the fans are like super rowdy. No, they got a good fan base. You know, they got fans that go hard for their team. And which they should. Yeah, it's a good environment for sure.
Basketball, the Badgers host Minnesota tonight. The Bucks are in Orlando against the Magic. Doc Rivers says when he brings in A.J. Green, it's not only for the three-point shot, but defense as well.
When we bring a man, we're bringing in another defensive player. We look at that, and I don't know if the other teams realize that. He is a terrific defensive player. He's competitive. He's tough, and he takes the right shot. So he's been fantastic for us.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwalbe. One of the celebrities forced to evacuate their home was actress Jamie Lee Curtis. The Associated Press reports that the last showgirl actress has pledged $1 million to start a fund to help those in Southern California affected by the fires. Celebrities who have actually lost their homes include Mandy Moore and Billy Crystal. The historic Will Rogers home in Will Rogers State Park have also been lost. Nikki Glaser says she was paid handsomely to host the Golden Globes last weekend, but she also told Howard Stern that she was paid less than her male counterparts who had previously hosted. 2023 host Jared Carmichael said in his monologue that he received $500,000. Glaser said she would have hosted for free to prove herself and is hoping to make more next time. Nikki Glaser was the first woman to host the Golden Globes solo. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with a few flurries possible today. We'll get to the mid to upper 20s this afternoon with a wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 11. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with more snow Saturday night into Sunday. We could end up with an inch, maybe a little more in spots by the time it winds down late Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. We'll talk with my regular co-host Sandy Williams about the forest fires in California and other issues impacting us all.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Ashley, Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Friday morning, January 10th, 2025. And yes, we are aware that there are some gremlins out there doing their thing on either the app feed or on the radio feed. They're being worked on at this very moment, and we appreciate those of you being patient with us as we deal with that and or watching us on social media, where hopefully you're hearing us nice and clear. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk to Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney. We're going to talk to veteran Chicago area journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. We're going to talk to Todd Alba of Civic Media, and we're going to talk to them all at the same time and start a little week in review panel for you coming up here in less than 15 minutes. That's on the way. Dan Schumacher will talk sports before we wrap up for the weekend as well. But first, let's get into the details of that weekend forecast. Temperatures are 10, even nearly 20 degrees above where they were 24 hours ago. And Brittany's here to tell us whether that's going to stick around or where things are going to go. Right after Brittany, we hear from Rob in Tigerton, who says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 22. We had a half inch of snow in Tigerton this morning. I got my salting and plowing just about done, but stopping for breakfast. We'll have more later this weekend. I was jamming along while you were playing Jim Croce while working. Again, many thoughts and prayers for the people of L.A. It's heartbreaking. And he says the roads have slippery spots and stretches, especially at bridges, overpasses, ramps, and intersections. Can't emphasize that enough, Brittany, that it doesn't take much to make things slippery out there.
No, it surely doesn't. I mean, we're not seeing much at all, pretty much a trace across the state. The max that people are seeing may be close to a half an inch, as that's continuing through areas of the Fox Valley right now and pushing southeast across the state. So we're done for a big chunk of us, just a few scattered snow showers expected on and off throughout the day today. No accumulations with that either, really just putting down a trace. But still be careful into those slippery spots. There will be some throughout the afternoon. High temperatures, though, feeling kind of decent, hitting those mid-20s for the north and nearing 30 degrees down south today. Still, of course, we are looking at the cloud cover staying with us. We'll see a little bit of sunshine early tomorrow morning with more clouds increasing throughout the afternoon as more snow starts to push into the northwestern parts of the state, especially by early evening. That snow will spread statewide by early Sunday morning and continue throughout the entire day, pretty much for everyone, where we are looking at 2 to 4 inches accumulations into the northern half of the state, pretty much north of Highway 29, and then about 1 to 3 inches of accumulation Sunday south of Highway 29. So a quick moving clipper system bringing some much needed snowfall to the area, but temperatures staying comfortable all weekend long into those upper 20s to low 30s. I mean, it's not bad.
No. Although, do you feel kind of caught between those who are like, come on, we need more than 2 to 4 inches, and those who are like, oh, does it really have to snow? We were doing just perfectly fine without it. It's like you can't win. But you know what? You know where you can win? Fashion critics. Alicia writing on YouTube, Brittany's snow sweater is so cute.
Thank you, Alicia.
It's a lovely snowflake there. Tony writes in on YouTube, 30 degrees? When did Wisconsin become Florida? It's so hot.
Agreed.
Meanwhile, at the Orange Bowl in Florida last night, that was their second coldest Rose Bowl ever, 56 in Miami.
Wow.
Pack the parkas, kids. It's getting chilly out there.
Oh, they do. Oh, they do. Trust me down there. It's funny. If you're down there as a tourist and, you know, you're maybe in shorts and a sweatshirt, and they just look at you like, what is the matter with you? And like, what's the matter with you? You got 6 layers on for 40 degrees, you know?
I will admit, though, it is that moist cold. It kind of hits you different than our dry cold.
Gets into your bones, as the old people like to say.
What's wrong? It's moist cold.
Yeah. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. I'm going to make one correction here, and it's going to be a blanket correction, because from now until April 1st, we're going to be talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race between former Attorney General Brad Schimmel and Dane County Judge Susan Crawford, as Alicia corrects me on YouTube, which means I'm sure at some point I said Linda Crawford. Linda Crawford is somebody who lives in my neighborhood here. So I see Crawford and Linda wants to come up. So anytime you hear Linda, you just go, oh, Pat's thinking about, you know, somebody else again. No, it's Judge Susan Crawford, not Joan Crawford, Greg. No, it's Susan Crawford, right? Yes, I'm having doubts about that already. Let's talk about the wildfires in LA really quick, because we've got some sound here from somebody from the Chippewa Valley who has been an LA resident for some time and has had to evacuate from the area. You may be familiar with Dana Walks, a longtime assembly rep from Eau Claire. He's an attorney in Eau Claire. He ran for governor back in 2018. He has a daughter, Jessica, who has lived in the Hollywood area, also in the Florida area, as an entertainer, singer, performer. She has been living in Pacific Palisades, the area that has now been literally destroyed by wildfires. She moved to the Florida Keys around the time of COVID and then decided to move back to California. She was getting set to get things set to move when she had to evacuate her Airbnb that was in the path of the fire. Selena Heller talked to her last night, and Jessica Walks describes what it's like there right now, as well as some of the frustration over conspiracy theories that are spreading there.
Last few days, I'd wake up to the smell of smoke and, like, my alarm. I slept through it because I thought it was still dark. The cloud of smoke was so thick. And then, like, the wind itself, it makes sense, because I was just driving up to a voice lesson, and even the Uber driver was worried, and it was almost like a miniature tornado was over our car, spinning leaves and such, and a hot one. So it was weird, and even while doing the singing lesson, the power was going in and out. And that's just from the wind itself, so you carry the fire with that wind. It's ridiculous. So it absolutely makes sense why it's spreading so quickly and fast. And I saw some silly little posts from people who think it's a conspiracy that a human is lighting these fires. But when you're out here feeling the winds and the temperature of the winds, and you just understand how Mother Nature's taking control back.
Without a doubt. I mean, and these aren't your typical Santa Ana winds. They are so much stronger than had ever been seen before. It was a true windstorm before it was a firestorm. As mentioned, Jessica Walks said also lived in Florida. She's endured hurricanes Milton and Helene, and now this wildfire in California. And she says that while her family back in Eau Claire worries about her and her adventures, she says they are supportive, but, you know, she's living the life that she's wanted to lead.
To the best of their ability, they are totally supportive and rooting for everything. But to some extent, like, they might not understand, like, why are you in a city that's burning down right now? pitching shows and going to workshops. Like, shouldn't you be running for your life? And so that's one of the things where the arts are emotion driven, and some people will literally do literally whatever they must to make things happen. So that's where we differ. My dad is, he was working in law for medical malpractice. He was so conservative with his safety and his energy and all of that, that like we weren't allowed to be on a trampoline growing up because he could imagine it breaking our necks. So it's probably terrifying for him to have such an adventurous daughter. And this is not a trampoline anymore. And so he's like, why? Why are you over there? What's I don't understand. I'm like, it's the adventure of life. One must go.
One must go, which really sums up Jessica well. And Dana, who is a friend of mine, is extremely proud of Jess, even as worried as I know that that he and his wife Beverly are. But Pat Lowell writes on Facebook, glad Jessica is safe at this time, and I'm sure she will continue to be, because that's the kind of smart, savvy person that she is. And I thank Selena Heller for reaching out to her so that we could hear that Jessica is doing well. Quick check of sports at 7:16 here. We know one of the teams that's going to be in the college football championship. Notre Dame, the number 7 seed, advanced to the title game after a thrilling last-minute win over Penn State last night in the Orange Bowl in Miami. There was an interception of the Penn State quarterback with just 33 seconds left in regulation. It set up Notre Dame for a game-winning field goal to beat Penn State 27-24. Notre Dame will play in the national championship game in Atlanta a week from Monday against either Ohio State or Texas. Those two teams are going to square off tonight in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. Now, let's see. We have also the Green Bay Packers have their wild card game. I wanted to make sure I got the radio stations right where you can hear that game. Pre-game Sunday, starting at 1 o'clock on Civic Media Stations WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls. The Milwaukee Bucks play tonight in Orlando. The Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team is at the Kohl Center tonight against the Minnesota Gophers. Coverage begins at 5 o'clock on several Civic Media radio stations, as well as on the Civic Media app. The Badger women's basketball team is home tomorrow afternoon. They will face 8th-ranked Maryland. The Badger women's hockey team, number 1 in the country, will face Minnesota State Saturday and Sunday. Those are home games in Madison, but they are already sold out. You can go see the men's hockey team. The Badgers are playing LIU tonight and again tomorrow. The 7th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team is off until next Tuesday when they travel to DePaul. The Marquette women's basketball team is home tomorrow afternoon hosting Villanova. Now, let's see. I wanted to make sure. We talked about Pat being glad that Jessica was safe. Tony chiming in on YouTube was simply, go Bucks, which is exactly what they need. See if they can actually string together a 3-game winning streak. And now to tell you what is coming up next. Normally, it's just former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. And that would be enough if it were just Jim Santel. But we also gave you Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze and Todd Alba are all going to come together, and we'll kick off a little Week in Review panel coming up in just a little bit as well. And along the way, if you have texts that you'd like to have us read with questions or comments, you can certainly reach out to us anytime. You can call or text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, or put something in the comment section on the Up North News YouTube page, the Up North News Facebook page, or the Civic Media Facebook page. So again, Jim and Todd and Mark and Jennifer all coming up next wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Friday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed automatic voter registration into law in December of 2020 to begin in January of 2023. Pandemic, technical, and bidding delays ensued, but preparation for voter registration at the DMV and other state agencies has finally begun. The New York State Board of Elections approved a resolution in December 2024 authorizing the state's Department of Motor Vehicles and other state agencies to create voter registration forms and transmit that data to the Board of Elections database. The new system allows citizens to opt out of voter registration, but will otherwise register or change registration information during official transactions. Gotham Gazette reports that both the implementation of automatic voter registration, or AVR, and online voter registration, or OVR, were delayed as technical staff was diverted for pandemic-related IT projects. While the delays are frustrating, getting it right is critical. Early adopter Oregon recently discovered flaws in its very successful AVR system, with evidence that ineligible citizens and non-citizens were accidentally registered during state transactions. The state is in the process of a system-wide audit. Brennan Center for Justice finds AVR has increased voter registrations from 9% to 94% in jurisdictions around the country. We have more on AVR at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot!
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Donald Fagan from Steely Dan turns 76 years old today. Welcome back to Up North News Radio on this Friday morning, January 10th, as we welcome in a new week in review panel with some old familiar friends. Glad to get them all together in one place. I'm going to pop them up on screen one at a time here on social media. There's Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney. Todd Alba, you can hear him weekdays noon to 2 on Civic Media. Mark Jacob, author of our Stop the Presses newsletter that you can get at Courier Newsroom. And Jennifer Schulze, you can also catch her on social media, her insights on media coverage and news throughout the course of the week. And then when Greg was on the box earlier, we weren't sure if it was Brady Bunch, Hollywood Squares, or actually we have to give proper credit to Roger from Stevens Point. It's Match Game. We've got the Match Game panel with Jim Santel playing the role of Charles Nelson Reilly. Don't laugh too hard, Alba, because you're in the Brett Summers spot over there.
Beautiful, darling, beautiful.
we are kicking it old school with the TV references. Thanks, y'all, for being here today. And there's a lot to go over that would normally start with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel because of the convicted felon who's about to become president of the United States again. Jim, Donald Trump is actually going to be sentenced today in his hush money trial. He's been convicted of 34 felonies. He's a convicted felon. How much prison time was he potentially facing, and how's this going to end today?
34 different counts returned by a unanimous jury. Let's not forget that. Beyond a reasonable doubt, proven guilty by that jury of his peers there in New York. He faced and still faces, arguably, up to 4 years in prison for all that under New York law. But the reality is that in scheduling the sentencing for today, the presiding judge, his name is Juan Merchan, he presided over the trial as well, has more than signaled his intention not to impose any jail time here. And that had a major role, frankly, in something that happened in the Supreme Court late last night. The upshot is we anticipate that the judge today will impose what's called an unconditional discharge. That's the lawyer talk for basically no jail time, no fine, no supervision. But here's the important thing for us this morning and for history, and that is that the conviction, that is finding that Donald Trump was guilty, is guilty, remains on the books. It remains a part of the record. And in 10 days from now, something significant will happen in two ways. Yes, we'll swear in the next president, the 47th president, but that president, for the first time in 248 years, will be a convicted felon. We've never done that before in our nation's history.
Here's the thing. When the Supreme Court decided that sentencing could go forward, Mark, that should have been a 9-0 decision. It was a 5-4 decision, if that doesn't tell you where the country is right now.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it was a no-brainer. I mean, the guy was convicted in a New York court. The Supreme Court really had nothing to do with it, and it should have had nothing to do with it, but Trump took it there, so that's where they went. But 4 of the 6 Republican judges, right-wing judges, decided that that Trump had immunity even before he became president, which is bizarre. And, Roberts and Coney Barrett voted with the Democratic minority, the left-wing or the reasonable minority, to go ahead with sentencing. And it makes me wonder, what were those 4 justices thinking? I mean, do they not care at all about the credibility of the court? And also, a point I made on social media is that if they give Trump total dictatorial power, they're irrelevant. I mean, they don't matter anymore. The Supreme Court will have, in effect, no authority. So you would think that just out of their own self-interest, they would try to keep some reins on them.
Unless they understand that they are just, they're getting their way politically because they are politicians in justices' robes, which takes us, Jennifer, to the whole notion that we learned this week about a phone call between Justice Samuel Alito and Donald Trump, ostensibly about something else entirely, but it sure smells funny.
Well, just ask yourself, do you really think that a incoming president, with all that's going on with him in the court system and a case pending before the United States Supreme Court, should be getting on the phone with a Supreme Court justice? And in any other world, we'd all be crazy insane about it. And here it's kind of like, yeah, Donald Trump, Samuel Alito, yeah, that's kind of how they do their thing. It is how they do their thing, but it's so outrageous, but it's outrage on top of outrage, especially as far as those two are concerned. I mean, Samuel Alito should have recused himself from any number of cases over the last several years, including involving Trump.
Right.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
And Todd, despite all of this, we have somebody who won, 77 million votes or something like that, and is going to take the oath of office. And so I'm not asking you to be a wet blanket, but are you going to say none of this matters, or it's important that this still continues to be conveyed to your listeners and to all of America?
I'll go right down the middle. Both. The answer is both, right? I mean, one of my friends started saying a couple of years ago, nothing matters anymore in Trump world, and he's kind of right. Right. But, to the rest of the panel's point, of course, it matters. History matters. And the journalists and the media that report it matter. I do think one thing that it would bring up elections. Elections do have matter, and they do have consequences. And I think back to all the folks that came into I had a small business in 2016, the coffee shop, and in a very liberal part. Well, most of Madison is liberal, but in the most liberal part of Madison, University Heights, and people came in, I'm voting for Jill Stein because we have to send Hillary a message. She's gone too mainstream. And those same people came into the shop the day after the election, like deer in the headlights, crying. And imagine if Hillary Clinton had been president and those 3 justices would have been her appointments. And the same way, this time around, people have decided to stay home or vote for somebody else rather than Kamala Harris. We have a very important Supreme Court race coming up in April of this year. Elections matter. And, Karen Hughes, George W. Bush's former communication director, used to say, election comes down to a choice and perfect ain't on the ballot.
Well, why, Todd, did you have to bring up Jill Stein? You triggered so much PTSD all of a sudden from 2016, if not before. We're gonna take a pause here. And on the other side, we're going to have a little bit more about Donald Trump politicizing the California wildfires, making mob boss worthy threats to the nation of Denmark. The Panama Canal repurchase or seizure is now an official bill in Congress. Jeez. And more. We're really kicking things off on the happy note this time around, but it's a Friday, and we'll have more of our panel discussion coming up after this. You're up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Wisconsin Auctioneers Association getting ready to celebrate their 75th anniversary. And what are they doing? Looking for the next generation of auctioneers. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Friday. They've partnered with Wisconsin FFA to try to do just that. We'll explain the details next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to six locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal. January 27th, during the Wisconsin Auctioneer Association's annual convention, they're opening the doors to Wisconsin FFA members that would like to compete and try their hand at becoming the next generation of auctioneers. Diane Morgan with the Wisconsin FFA explains.
If and when an FFA member becomes interested in this, the Wisconsin Auctioneer Association is trying to pair them up with an auctioneer or a mentor or someone to help them, similar to having like a coach for your livestock team, someone to help coach these individuals and learn more about auctioneering, because quite frankly, there isn't a lot of I tried to look for resources, et cetera, and there isn't that many resources actually out there for them. So a person to go to and someone to work with, I think, is ideal.
Diane Morgan with Wisconsin FFA says they've already got eight young people that are signed up to compete at the Wisconsin Auctioneers Association convention in Marshfield on January 27th. Any other interested parties that would like to jump in are welcome. Just contact Diane through the WisconsinAgEd.org website. And two Wisconsin cheesemakers will be honored in April during CheeseCon in Milwaukee. Sid Cook from Carr Valley Cheese and Steve McKeon from Emmy Roth in Monroe will be recognized as the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association's 2025 Cheese Industry Champions for pursuing their love of all things cheese. That's a quick update on food news. I'm PM Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with a few flurries possible today. We'll get to the mid to upper 20s this afternoon with a wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 11. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with more snow Saturday night into Sunday. We could end up with an inch, maybe a little more in spots by the time it winds down late Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Here's to a Wisconsin winter you will always remember. To playing outdoors in a winter wonderland. Here's to cozying up around the fire and holding someone close. And to staying downtown, where the food scene makes your heart sing. And to celebrating moments frozen in time. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your winter getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I review 2024 in the law and talk about what it tells each of us about our expectations for 2025 and your family. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy calling hugs.
Sometimes you can't fit everything in the history segment at 6:50 every weekday morning. Otherwise, I would have told you back then that it was on this day in 1976 that C.W. McCall's Convoy was the number one song amid the country's fascination with trucker culture and CB radios and the handles that they had. I always talk about my dad's handle being Day Tripper because he made the trip every day between Eau Claire and St. Paul. And I realized, gang, that that we have that today. Instead of CB handles, we have social media handles. Jennifer, Jennifer, we find you on Blue Sky at News Jennifer, right?
Mm-hmm. News Jennifer, that is my handle.
Yep, and you, like others of us, have escaped the Elon Musk dumpster fire and are over on Blue Sky now. Mark, you made the jump as well. People find you how?
Mark Jacob, very simple, one word.
Okay, we can do that.
And also at the Stop the Presses newsletter, which is stopthepresses.news.
That's right, and along with the video series that you do with Stephen Beschloss called On Target, and you mentioned in there, basically your theme is when Meta goes MAGA, and Zuckerberg joining basically the billionaire axis of evil with Bezos and Musk, all these billionaires suddenly on the Trump team, that should go well for democracy, right, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, it's so alarming because, you know, the news media is under such siege now. And to have people who are owning giant media organizations who don't care at all about getting information to people is really alarming. I mean, it's a good time for people to find independent, trustworthy media and support them with their money and with their eyes and ears.
Yeah, without a doubt, to really rethink where your money is going. Let's get back to reviewing some of the news of the day here. And Jennifer, the once and future president, made an interesting comment yesterday, sounding a lot like a mob boss and talking about, again, wanting Greenland. And saying, well, maybe something's going to have to happen to Denmark, which, of course, he was talking about tariffs. But, I mean, this is what we're going to be facing for the next 4 years or whatever, aren't we? Is this, again, back to the mob boss language and people saying, oh, you're overreacting.
Right. He talks like a mob boss all the time. Maybe some of us have memory hold it. God, I know I tried to block it out, but it's back. And it is alarming. I've been distressed by a number of aspects of this. Most importantly, though, how some in the mainstream news media have taken it seriously. Instead of saying this is bananas, and especially when he said this week that he wouldn't rule out military force to take Greenland, and our hair should be on fire about that. I just don't know.
Jennifer, and what you're saying is, and I've seen this too, is news media outlets saying, well, there's some logic behind his idea to take Greenland. This
right.
might be a really savvy idea to
right.
take
what,
Greenland.
Here's what he might be thinking. This is how this might work, as if it's legit. And it is bananas to think that we would force a takeover of someone else's property like that. And I say, I have not seen enough news outlets and pundits saying, are you kidding me?
Well, what they're doing instead is like, I saw one of the publications yesterday noting that Trump talking about reacquiring the Panama Canal is now a bill that was introduced in Congress. And I am embarrassed that I had to go look just to make sure no Wisconsin Republicans have co-sponsored that turkey yet, though, Todd, I suppose it's only a matter of time. What's the significance? What should, again, people take away from this talk about Denmark and Panama and even, you know, blaming Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, for the wildfires? What should be the ultimate takeaway for the audience?
It's a distraction, and Trump is going to Trump. I mean, everybody this panel knows, but sadly a lot of other folks don't, that, you know, I mean, Denmark is a member of the EU and NATO. So, I mean, an attack on one is an attack on all. So do we really want to be serious about attacking, you know, going to war with all of NATO and all the EU? No, of course, it's not going to happen. It's a distraction from what's really going on in Washington. Some of those things are really going to affect folks across the state of Wisconsin. But, you know, to Mark's point and others, I mean, I watched a little bit just because I thought I should of this press conference down Mar-a-Lago. And yeah, you had quote-unquote legitimate news people standing up and asking questions about this as if it was real, as if it was really going to happen. And, you know, our friend Trigvi Olson, the Lincoln Project, said this week on our show, who's actually fought against autocracies in Eastern Europe, look at the things that he actually does, things that mm-hmm. the big things that are across all mm-hmm. socials that are indisputable, because that's not a silo news thing. That's something that everybody out there, or most people, are going to see. Focus on the things he actually does.
There's only so much time in the clock, Jim, and for any time that's focused on, you know, Denmark, that's time away from something that is more boring but important. For example, the FBI informant who is kind of at the heart of, you know, the quote unquote, the Biden crime family. If I read correctly, he was sentenced this week. And I liked how somebody posted, you know, Jim Jordan in Congress got all kinds of media traction for his quote unquote investigation into the Biden family. And yet you're going to hear next to nothing about this informant who lied about the Bidens in order to get some, you know, whatever he got, political traction with Republicans in Congress.
Who lied not only in Congress, but also, again, sent the news media, not all of it, but in a flurry, because, in fact, they're thinking, my goodness, maybe there is something to all of this. There is nothing about it. Thank goodness we still do have, at least under this administration, for another 9 days or so. We've got a Justice Department that was investigating, did investigate, did charge him, sentenced. And again, your comment, your observation cannot be overstated, the importance of that, which is this is a man who not only took up airspace and atmospheric space for all of us, but also committed a crime in doing so. That's the kind of people who are advocating for these kinds of things. It is the kind of people that, regrettably, the Jim Jordans and others in Congress are also calling before their panels in providing them and cloaking them with the air of legitimacy. That should be a great concern. To Todd's very good point as well, this is all about diversion. And along the way, we're not talking about things like, Mr. President, and when are my grocery prices going to come down, right? Those
yeah.
kinds of things. That's what the diversion is all about.
And the other diversion that we're seeing, we saw it in the Wisconsin legislature this week. The very first thing they're working on is voter suppression through a voter ID proposed constitutional amendment. Mm-hmm. The Idaho legislature kicked off this week. The first two things out of the gate were restrictions on same-sex marriage and, you know, trans kids playing sports. And Mark, I am sure, because you've got more of a national perspective, we're going to see that in state after state, that the last thing they're going to talk about is the price of eggs.
No, right. What price of eggs? And you know, the funny thing is that you have Trump saying that, well, it's really hard to bring grocery prices down. I mean, he was quoted as saying that recently. He didn't say that before the election. He said, no. I'm going to bring grocery prices down. Now it's a hard thing to do, and he doesn't want to talk about it much. In the same way, you know, Elon Musk, you know, was and Trump were saying, well, we're going to, you know, cut $2 billion out of the, you know, they talk about gigantic cuts out of the federal government. And now they're talking about, well, I don't think we're going to be able to cut that much. You know, so it's all this. You know, we'll lie to you before the election, and then we'll hope you forget it afterwards.
The heck of it is, this was the entire Trump first term, was saying things and then going, it's really hard, I can't really do it, I can't get it done. And yet, we're just going to rehash this again, Jennifer. It is totally rinse and repeat of the things that we say we want to do. They're just too hard, or they're going to blame somebody else, Jennifer. It's going to be nothing but that for the next 4 years. Or am I wrong? Is there going to be something, anything productive that comes out of this Congress and this administration that you could see in a crystal ball?
Well, I think it depends on your political leanings, whether you think what bills they might pass are productive or not. I mean, I'm guessing that I will feel like most of the things they accomplish are dangerous and bad for the country. I do think we are in a really bad place with information, obviously. But when I'm going to bring prices down dominates the conversation, and the no, I don't think I really can do that point is barely there. Trump has mastered, and we have all, I guess, played our own part in it, this splashy, nonsensical, I'm going to take Greenland stuff. And then when he doesn't take Greenland, you know, it'll be a paragraph in a at the end of a news story. It's the lie and the boast get all of the attention, suck all the oxygen. And then the reality of it is, you know, it's ho-hum. It's kind of like the news loves when prices are high. Gas prices being high, you know, can lead every newscast. Gas prices being low, nobody talks about it.
No, never see that story, do you? Todd, kick us off on our last topic, the funeral for former President Jimmy Carter and the ability to contrast what was with what is. I shared earlier that, look, if you want a good eulogy, get yourself an adversary turned friend the way Gerald Ford was to Jimmy Carter, because Gerald Ford's eulogy delivered by his son was something everybody should want. It was just amazingly touching.
Lovely.
It was. Todd, what were your impressions?
Yeah, I watched it. I thought it was, you know, I'm a geek in, for politics. You know, as a former Republican who left the party in 2011, you know, I'm an institutional guy, so I like pomp and circumstance and institution. I thought it was a tremendous ceremony. I thought one of the I learned something, you know, believe it or not. Andrew Young, former ambassador to the United Nations and a pastor, I thought maybe gave the most eloquent speech of the day. And he said that where Jimmy Carter grew up in rural Georgia, he was actually a minority, that 75% of the folks in his community were black, and he was, of course, was white. And then that served him. Once he graduated the Naval Academy and got put on a submarine, he asked that the first black cadet to be assigned to a submarine be his bunkmate, because he had been a minority, Carter, and he could help this guy kind of navigate the waters, literally and figuratively, I guess. But I thought that was extraordinary, and it gave me perspective of Jimmy Carter's compassion and his empathy towards others.
Mark, how about you? What were your thoughts either on the funeral or the many remembrances of the former president?
I think it was a healthy reminder that, you know, that politics doesn't have to be mean-spirited and vicious, and it doesn't have to be just a parade of lies. You know, but the it's also a reminder that lies work, because Carter only got one term. And part of the reason he only got one term was because he told the truth and didn't try to, you know, BS people. And so, you know, it's both positive when you see what he did, you know, he named way more women as federal judges than anyone had before him. I mean, he set the standard for that. And I mean, there's so many things you could point to that he did that were important and kind of set us on a right course that we're clearly off course now on. And as I say, it's kind of the negative of that is that decency doesn't play as well as bombast.
Yeah. Jennifer?
Well, one of the things I was struck by is sitting there in the first few rows of the church were all these presidents, but also three candidates that lost the presidency, and in Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris, and Al Gore, and all conceded the presidency peacefully, right? And did the normal thing that we're accustomed to. And then, of course, down at the other end of the aisle is Donald Trump, who didn't do that. And so there's this normal. I mean, I thought having a state funeral, the whole country's participating if they want to and watching it, was kind of a normal thing, right? We're sending off a former president. And that was comforting in its own way, that we were doing something normal. And I, you know, I couldn't help thinking, if this had happened when Trump was president, would there even be any of this, or, you know, how would he corrupt it? So I was struck by those two things.
Jim, before I give you the last word with only 10 seconds worth, it's because you and I had an extensive conversation last Friday. Folks should go back and listen to that during your time as an intern in the Jimmy Carter White House. But very quickly, thoughts on the funeral?
Yes. Grandson talking about what integrity is and saying that my grandfather was the same man that you saw in the public domain. He's the one who was with us in a family around the table. That's what integrity is. And going back to our first portion of our discussion here, that's what we should expect in our public officials, right? Someone who's true both behind the scenes and publicly.
Jim Santel, Todd Alba, Mark Jacob, Jennifer Scholze, thank you all so much. Have a great weekend. When we come back.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works, unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team is in action tonight against the Minnesota Gophers. Coverage begins at 5 o'clock. You can hear it on the Civic Media app, as well as Civic Media stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine Kenosha, and Richland Center. All right, let's wrap things up for the week here, bringing in Dan Schumacher from Northern College. He and Greg Bach always kick off the segment with a little Grateful Dead. What do we got today?
I mean, you know, Dan.
It's Uncle John's band.
Yeah. And whenever I hear it, I always think they like them and Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. There's such a similar vocal harmony in that how they split their vocals up.
Mm-hmm. Oh no!
Let's see. We've got Packer playoff football against the Eagles this Sunday afternoon. Kickoff at 3:25.
Pat, it's pronounced Eagles.
Sorry. That's at 1 o'clock on Civic Media stations, including WRJ and Racine Kenosha and Richland Center and Park Falls. And Dan, after what the Bears did to the Packers, do you sense what it's like around here? Is it almost on par with being a Bears fan these days, how little enthusiasm there is for this playoff game?
I'm not feeling it for sure.
Nobody's feeling it.
I think the question mark right now is Jalen Hurts going to play?
Yeah, he practiced, I guess, for the first time.
But he was in concussion protocol for 6 days.
Right.
So that was the big question. But I did see late last night on the news that he did practice. So that takes away that worry for if you're a Packer fan saying you're going to have to deal with Jalen Hurts now. So.
Well, plus Jordan Love, hit his elbow. Malik hitting his hand or his thumb or something like that.
Yep.
So very banged up on this. What is it? Whatever it is, 17th, 18th, 19th game that they're playing of the season. Really not making the case for expanding the season the way they have from the original 14 games.
Yeah, I mean, look at college. It's gonna be right around the same time that they end.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they do that at the college level, D1 and that whole FBS thing and the Power Five.
Yeah.
With missing so much class time.
Oh, I know. Well, I mean, you know, class time. That's adorable. time. I mean,
I'm a true higher education person.
I know.
Miss class time. dealing with professors, thinking that they're second, you know, they're second fiddle to athletics. I don't even know if the players that are playing are there for the education or the money.
Well, not when you got NIL deals, you know, right, that are worth $1 million or whatever. If you give a young person $1 million and then say, by the way, finish your degree. I mean, it's just not, the two don't go together. No, it doesn't. Did you catch any of Notre Dame Penn State last night?
I did the first half, kind of fell asleep. In the second half, Notre Dame, of course, I read right away this morning online, you know, them squeaking it out, and mm-hmm. it was a great ending. And
27-24, yep.
Yeah, so.
So they'll go up against.
I think the TV market is going to get, or the TV stations or whoever's covering ESPN, they're going to get a good matchup no matter, because they've got a Notre Dame audience.
Yes, Notre Dame taking on either Ohio State or Texas. Yep. Ohio State, Texas is tonight in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. That is basically a home game for the Longhorns. So would you go with them, or do you think Ohio State can
I think can because win? Of the elements right now. If you looked at Dallas, had a major snowstorm yesterday.
Yeah.
For Dallas purposes.
Yep. Yeah.
For Dallas, Texas. That's a big storm. They were, I learned, watching the experts, worried about the weather. And if it's going to be this cold, who does that favor? Well, Ohio State, if they ask me, because they're used to playing in the upper Midwest and in this kind of elements, going to Ann Arbor and, you know, out to Iowa or something like that. So I kind of like the way Ohio State is playing, and with the elements, even though it feels like it's a home game for Texas, I think I would lean towards Ohio State today.
Okay. All right. And again, those two, Notre Dame and either Ohio State or Texas, will square off in the national championship game in Atlanta on January 20th. The Bucks play tonight in Orlando. Still lots of season left on that. Excited to see the Badger women's hockey team continuing to be number one in the country, playing Minnesota State this weekend, and seeing if they can continue that all the way through. What's happening sports-wise up by you, up at Northland College?
We do have hockey tonight, home hockey, and that's in full season right now, hockey and basketball. So we're productive. We're keeping things close, but just not getting over the hump yet. I think we need another year away of a recruiting season to enhance some of the rosters to make sure that we are going to win those games instead of making them close. But we have hockey versus St. John's tonight, St. John's from Minnesota. So looking forward to sitting the boys in their sweaters and skating around and see if we can get one tonight here at the Civic Center.
What's the – I was going to say, no, the Civic Center, is that something – is it walking distance for a lot of the students, or
yes,
is it kind of like the way Carson Park was in Eau Claire, where you kind of have to take a car over there?
It's a walking distance. There's no doubt about it. It's less than a mile.
Okay.
You know, all right. So, and it's pretty safe coming right down Ellis or 13, Route 13, and right there, right, 13 and 2 is the Civic Center. So, not a bad walk at all. Now, it is kind of cold out today here. It's snowballs.
You are hardy northern folk up there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Again, sweatshirt and shorts will probably get it done for a lot of the college kids, because that's the dress code up there. So, all right. Sounds good. All right, Dan, thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Yep, you as well. Greg Bach is back, and you will have Jim Santel making a return appearance.
Absolutely, yes. He'll be on at 10:33 talking about all the major cases happening right now in the country.
There are. We could have definitely filled plenty of time with him, so I'm glad he's on with you. So more of former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel for Matt and Air on Air, starting at 10 to noon. You have a great weekend at the Laughing Tap. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Thank you, sir.
All right. And again, on Monday, we will talk to Judge Susan Crawford, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Hope you have a great weekend, a safe weekend, and we will see you back here up north Monday morning, 6 a.m.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is going on in North Carolina and in Florida with Judge Eileen Cannon? Jim Santel from Abacus Law Review joins us to break it all down. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Those Santa Ana winds strong in parts of Los Angeles again today, but they are expected to die down later this afternoon. The wildfires out there have killed 10 people and destroyed 10,000 structures. The Supreme Court last night denying Donald Trump's last-minute appeal for a delay, meaning he will be sentenced in his hush money conviction this morning, and on January 20th will become the first American president ever sentenced for a crime.
Despite repeated attempts to delay the sentencing, overnight the president-elect called the decision fair, but vowed to appeal his conviction.
I read it and I thought it was a fair decision, actually. So I'll do my little thing tomorrow. They can have fun with their political opponent.
Trump faced up to 4 years in jail. Now he will face no real punishment at all. The judge has said he would impose an un-